Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Welcome and good morning, everyone. It's a great day here, and you have just tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show. So welcome. I've got Marcia Hively here again. We had so much fun yesterday
good morning. We
figured I'd have you come back, and I'm so glad you did. And I've got Dr. Bunny Vreeland. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Boy, school's back on.
I know.
It really surprised me. I had a lot of cars. I'd love to give a shout-out to Scott, if I may.
Sure.
Scott listened in to the Kim Pagano Show last week and called me and took advantage of my discount.
So I'm just going to reiterate
the discount, if I may.
Sure.
If you give me a call, this is Dr. Bunny, and I'm a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist. And if I can help you with any of your issues, I'm at 482-8111 in Camarillo at the airport and Business Park. Scott heard me. He said, I heard you on the Kim Pagano Show. Love to take advantage of that. So I'm going to continue. Anybody that hears the Kim Pagano Show and you're on, 8 to 9, and then again in the afternoon, 3
From
to 4?
Yep.
On KKZZ 1400 AM, call me, and I will give you one-third off my regular consultation fee, 482-8111.
Right, and I do want to say, you know, that's how easy it works out there, is when you become a sponsor of my show, you get business. It's real simple, you know? And I love to support and promote different businesses out there that I feel passionate about. And so that's what it's all about. So you're welcome, and thank you for being here. So today we've got a great show. I kind of posted a little bit on Facebook, but those that are not on Facebook, you're going to get excited about this because, you know, so many of us are tired. Okay, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so yes, we're tired, but not only at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're tired all the time, and it just seems like, you know, our kids are back at school. It's like, when is it our time? So today we are going to be talking about Tired Women's Guide to Passionate Sex. You know, if you have great partners and husbands, and, you know, vice versa, because I'm going to like turn this around on men too.
What if they're tired?
Exactly. Right. So, you know, but, you know, if you have a great guy, which I do, I have a sweetheart at home, and you know what? Sometimes I am just exhausted. And so how does that help our relationship, or how does that hurt our relationship?
Good question.
And that's
then not being tired at the same time.
you know
what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, finally I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Oh, honey, not now. It's like, really? You know, yeah. So anyways, what I do
there is
want.
Morning sex, you know.
There you go.
Except for you, because you
I'm here,
hair.
Right? Yeah, morning to me is like 4 in the morning,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And guess what? I'm tired.
It's the middle of the night.
Exactly. So anyways, well, I welcome all of you. And my show is on from 8 to 9, and then again from 3 to 4. And that is Monday through Friday. You can Facebook us. Steve is on the board today, and he's looking for Facebook questions or also phone calls. And my Facebook is The Kim Pagano Show. And also our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And Marcia, do you want to mention our next guest?
Yeah, I want to talk about our next guest, because even if you're going to turn off the radio because you have children in the
car. Yeah, there you go.
Please turn it back on, because we have Suffer the Children with Marilyn Wedge. She is a clinical psychologist, and she's going to be talking about the case against labeling and medicating as an effective alternative for ADD, ADHD.
Right, and so many kids are being labeled bipolar, ADD, ADHD. And, you know, are we really being diagnosed right? You know, is there, and then does that label our children and they feel like maybe failures or maybe, you know, so maybe it's our turn.
Well, my question also is the people that I think in years past used to have issues like that are also the really creative people that think outside of the box and have a lot of creative juices. And does all that medication cut that out?
Yeah. So when they're on medication, does it take away all that spontaneity?
Yeah,
is it just the
creative energy that you have and you need to create something new and different.
You know, what is really unnerving to me is I have a friend who is a teacher, and she goes to camp with all the kids. And she said there's two lines every morning at camp. One line is for breakfast.
Medication.
And the other one is for medication. And well, she said the medication line gets longer and longer.
Yeah, and the other thing is there a correlation between cutting out physical education in school and not allowing kids to run and get their energy out and then trying to medicate them?
It's pretty appalling.
I agree.
So please come back, even if you need to turn off the radio for the dicier part of the show. Come back.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. Thank you. And so both of these books, you know, today is A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex, Reclaim Your Desire and Reignite Your Relationship.
And for those ladies that have children in the car but would still like to hear this,
I'm glad you said that. You can actually tune into my website, and all my past shows are downloaded there. And that is the Kim Pagano Show. Also, if you have a phone that you can get an app on there, you can get a free app on TuneIn Radio and then record it and then listen later. So there's so many ways that you can reach out and listen to our show.
And how would they, like, text a question if they're uncomfortable to call and ask?
There you go. You can actually text it to me at 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832 is my text. And again, I want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. If you want to call into the studio, you don't have to give your name, but you can be a part of our show. I love it. My whole thing is adding value every day in every way. And my thought is many hands make little work. So if we all kind of do this
together.
And I got
to be honest here, I am not comfortable talking about sex very, very much. I don't mind having it, but I am not one that really likes to talk about it on air. So this is an interesting place for me to be. So if you're like me and you do have questions, but you don't necessarily want to say them on the air, you know, you'd rather be anonymous, please text and
good point.
And ask the question.
That's a great point.
You know, I actually work with sexual problems, and I studied with Masters and Johnson way back in the dark ages. So, I'm the flip side of you. I'll talk about anything sexually.
Well, I don't mind talking about it in private. It's just we're on the radio.
We are private. No.
Not all by ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, gosh. So, you know, what do people come in for help, you know, on your end that they need in their sexual?
I work with a lot of couples.
Okay.
And oftentimes sex is an issue. And usually it's because of communication. So when you can't talk about your needs, when you can't talk about what you want, it's really hard for him or for her
to know what you want. Yeah.
Because, you know, the truth is that we're not mind readers. We don't have a crystal ball. And unless you say, honey, I really would like it if you would, you know, move it over here or give me a little bit more of that or whatever it is you like, they don't know. And you know, it's usually that the women don't speak up.
Right.
Because men want to please us. I mean, that is something that every man goes around and wears like a badge of honor. I got a happy wife at home or a girlfriend or whatever the relationship might be. And so a man is willing to do just about anything to please his lady.
And, you know, besides money, which I guess is the number one problem people have.
And in-laws.
You know. And in-laws, you know, sex is right up there.
Right up there, yeah.
Keep your sex life healthy is really important.
It truly is.
All right, I love that. So I think we actually have her. Is she on the line?
Yeah, we're going to put you through right now.
So is a tired woman's guide for passionate sex.
Yeah.
Reclaim your desire and reignite your relationship by Lori Mintz.
Right. And so I thought this was pretty timely because I think that, you know, and you know, I want to kind of get it out there that you got to listen to my show to find out what the next thing we're going to be talking about. And I'm really going to stretch it and go out of the box because there's a lot of things that we don't talk about that we need to in our lives. So Dr. Lori Mintz, are you there?
I am.
Welcome. Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you are so welcome. So I guess that words, honey, I'm too tired, may sound like just another excuse, right? But a lot of us are saying that.
About anywhere between 33% and 54% of women say they are too tired, too busy, or too stressed for sex.
Wow, that's a huge. And so
the stress one is huge, too.
Well, that's very interesting because I think for the most part, sex helps with stress, but
we just can't get past that, right? So tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book because I used to be one of those women, and I'm a psychologist. And after my second child, my sex drive just went in hiding. And I knew as a psychologist how important sex is to mental health, emotional health, relationship health, physical health. So I tried to do everything I could to get my own sex drive back, and there was really nothing out there at the time that worked. And so using the best sex therapy, the best stress management, I put together a program. It worked for me. Talked to my friends about it. Pretty soon I was inundated with referrals and ended up deciding I better write this into a book, which I did. And I've also done a research study on the book and found that women who read it increase their sex drive by about 60%, their arousal, and their satisfaction.
Wow. Okay, so let me ask from the very beginning, how do you know if it's physical or mental?
Oh, great question.
That is a great question. Women's sex drive is so complicated that I can't give you a formula. If it's this, it's this. If it's that, it's that. But what I always tell women is there are a number of medical issues that lead to low sex drive. And before embarking on a psychological treatment, I always send women to a physician to get a blood work. Thyroid issues can interfere. And, you know, about 90% of the time women come back with an all clear from their doctor. And then I say, let's start with the stress management. Let's start with the sex therapy kind of aspect of it.
And especially if you've just had a child, postpartum does throw you wacky.
Absolutely. And in fact, most no-sex marriages or low-sex marriages start after having children.
That's interesting. Because is it because you no longer think you're attractive or you think your body's not the way you want it? I mean, I know those are a lot of things that...
Hormone imbalances.
Yeah. Is it... Yeah, well, then again, is
or
it...
all
your,
of the
is
above.
It, yeah, is your body or is it more your mind?
It's all of the above.
And
it's... Of course, when your hormones are, you know, just going crazy, you're exhausted, you're getting all your, you know, so much of the physical contact from caring for a child, you crawl into bed and you just want to go to sleep and not be touched. It's all of the above. And what I tell couples is that is really normal. And, you know, sex waxes and wanes over the stages of one's life. But if a couple lets that go too far, you know, and I've seen couples where, you know, it's been 7 years, you know, since the child was born, that's when it starts to get to be a problem, is to understand that, you know, roller coaster of sex, but never stay down at the dip. Always work on doing things to get things back on track.
I love this. One of your chapters is Oral Sex, Talk for Tired Women. Because I do think that you know, we say oral sex and we all cringe. It really starts with the mouth. You really need to talk about it.
Communication.
Yeah. Since we're on the radio, I think we should.
Yeah. No, talk about sex.
No, no, I know. I'm kidding. But you know what? For someone who just said she couldn't talk, I'm glad she just started right off there, you know?
So what are some communication hints that
you
have?
Well, how should a couple start if they have maybe... You know, and what is the normal time to have sex? How many times a week? Is there a normal or, you know, since you deal with the, you know, different couples, what is the typical?
Well, two things there. I tell people there is no typical. But each couple has to figure out what works for them, and that goes back to the talk step, because sex is something we assume should just be working without talking about it. We would never say, gee, I don't want to talk about child rearing or money because it makes me uncomfortable, but we do that with sex. And I advocate couples sit down, not in the bedroom, but I call them kitchen table sex talks, and say, I want to talk about our sex life. And ask that question, what's ideal for us? You know, I have couples I work with that say once a month is fine. I have couples that say two times a week is fine. But finding what works for each couple is the key.
Right.
Well, also, trying to talk about sex right before you're going to have sex is not very effective. So
yeah,
do it at a time that you're not actually, you know, headed for the bedroom.
Exactly. And you can't just start off just trying to have sex. You know what I mean? You kind of... I know a lot of women like to be romanced into it, right? And is that kind of a thing that men and women, you know, how they say men are from Mars or Venus or, you know, that whole thing. Is that one of the big things that they don't, a woman likes to be romanced and a man likes to just have sex?
Well, that is a huge piece of it, is the conditions for sex. If they vary between a man and a woman, or, you know, different people in a couple, that's going to create a problem. And the other problem is people assuming we're just going to have sex and not have to talk about it first. And the part I think is the biggest problem is this notion that we hang on to that is so false, that sex should be spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, there's no such thing as spontaneous sex. Even that which we look back on as spontaneous sex was usually carefully orchestrated.
By one or the other.
Yeah. I like that. You know, I just want to remind anybody that is just tuning in right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we are talking to Dr. Laura Mintz, and her book is A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. Now, does this kind of work in regards to men, too? I know that it's you know, just for women in this way, but do men get tired, too?
Yes. That more women than men complain of being too tired for sex or having a diminished sex drive, but it is also an issue that men face as well.
Don't you think, though, a lot of women use the word tired to just bring in every other reason you don't want to have sex? I mean, that is, tiredness is legitimate, but a lot of times it's other things. It's your, you know, emotionally spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not just angry with him, mm-hmm. but you're angry with your children. You're angry. You know, whatever. Or
it's hard.
There's
to be
other
angry
things going
and
on.
Loving at the same time
and feel sexy.
Yeah,
tired is it? I use the word tired in there, not just for physical exhaustion. You're right, but tired is an all-encompassing word of basically being overwhelmed with life and all of its complexity and feelings about everything.
So can you talk about, in your book, you talk about the 5 T's and a bit of spice. Can you explain what that is?
Yes, that is the 6-step way to recover your sex drive that I lay out. And thoughts is the first T. And basically, I help women think about sex when they're not having it and turn off their busy brains when they are having it in that step.
How do you turn off your brains? That's a big one for me.
It is a big one for many women. You know, I can't tell how many women think about their laundry or their to-do list.
How sad are we, right? You know.
And the way that I advocate doing it in the book is through mindfulness, which is a present focus. It's just being completely immersed in the sensations of the moment. You can, and I tell women to practice it in other parts of their life. Anything can be a mindful moment, doing the dishes, taking a walk. And the more one gets practiced at just totally focusing on the moment, the better. And I have some other tips of invoking a mindful focus during sex in the book, breathing, certain kinds of touch, that kind of thing. But it's focusing on your body and turning off your mind.
Hmm. And what are some of the other T's?
The next T is talk, which we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
and that's talking about sex when you're not having it. And I also give some hints about talking about sex during it to make it more satisfactory. Then the next T is time. This is the one that most women get hung up on, because if they're often saying they don't have time for sex, they don't have time to read the book. And that one is carving out time for self-care, which is critically important to sexuality, and carving out time for one's relationship, not sexually, but to connect, to work out problems. The next T is touch, and that is, you know, so many times with kids running around and work and busyness, we don't touch all day long, then we hop in bed and are expected to, okay, let's have sex now, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
So I give techniques for incorporating sensual and sexual touch throughout the day, and also some information on women's anatomy to make sex more satisfactory. Then the next step is spice, and there I say, let's make sure that you're not too tired for sex, not, you know, but it could be that you're tired of the sex you're having. And I give lots and lots of ideas to spice things up, try new things, because we're driven towards novelty in every aspect of our lives often.
What do you mean by novelty?
Well, most couples get into a routine with sex, and they've gotten into that routine because it works. But after a while, often,
it's,
you know,
boring.
It's
yeah.
A little boring.
Yeah, if we're getting bored, right? I mean, everybody must be getting bored, right?
Right.
So maybe as far as the chapter goes, that would be a good one for your husband to read, too.
Yeah.
That way you're kind of on the same as page, as they say.
Yeah, and that's another good thing that you just said, actually, is you have to be on the same page as your mate, right?
Yes, yes. And there's a sex, you know, somebody might have, you know, 10 things they're interested in sexually. The partner may have 10 things. And there may be only overlap on four, but those are the four to focus on, and you can't figure that out without a conversation.
I like that.
I like that you wrote, think about the things you could do to make your bedroom more alluring. If something appeals to you and is feasible and affordable, go ahead and do it.
Like really nice sheets.
Yeah.
There's just something about, you know, if you're staying out like the Westin, or you're staying at, you know,
nice pillows.
It's funny, we went to Maui, my husband and I, and we had the most amazing time. He's like, I want to buy this whole bedroom. I want to buy, like, and
a lot of hotels sell that.
No, I know,
oh,
but
yeah.
Because, right. You know, and it's funny
and soft
how,
lighting.
Right.
Soft
and,
lighting.
There
and
you go.
I love good smells, so I
spray. I like good smells, but my husband doesn't. He's like,
yeah,
you know,
see,
so.
You need to talk about that.
It doesn't have to be perfume, but I do the sacred sage and I just spray.
Ooh.
It.
Yeah, but, you know, some people that have allergies, that it would annoy them. So you need
so
to
you
figure
really
it out.
Have to figure out what works for both
yeah,
of you, you
exactly.
Know? Yeah. So you go in one room and then you get sensual and then you come into another. but no, it isn't really important to have that connection with each other, right?
Absolutely. Physically and emotionally. And it really, you know, there is no way around talking about it. That's why that talk step is so foundational, and it's so difficult for people in our culture. But getting past that is the key, to be able to talk about things.
Okay, so let's talk about our libido, okay? Is how come stress makes us, you know, the loss of our, or sap, I guess, sap our libido?
Well, there is actually a physiological reason for that. When we're stressed, the hormone cortisol is secreted, which is the fight or flight hormone that people have often heard about. What people often aren't aware of is that cortisol decreases testosterone. And testosterone is responsible for sex drive in women and in men, although women have less testosterone. So a hit of cortisol might take a man's tank down to about 50%. It can take a woman's tank down to bottom.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And cortisol is also lowest at night, which is why a lot of women say, you know, nighttime is really not the right time for me.
Okay. And so how can you help that? You know what? We're going to take a really quick break. And can you stay on with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I want to come back and find out all the ways that we can help us to really increase our passionate sex with our, you know, our mates and improve our lives. Because it improves us. It's really,
right.
I mean, really, it's good for our minds, correct?
There
everything.
Are so many.
It's good for everything. Exactly.
So sex is free, fun, and good for you.
I love it. Free, fun, and good. I love that. All right. Well, if anybody's just joining us right now, stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Dr. Lori Mintz, and she is a PhD, and we're talking about her book, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. Reclaim your desire and reunite your relationship. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music. Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer. Join us at the...
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free 1-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm so glad that you stayed with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we talk about anything that can add value to our life every day in every way. And today we're talking to Dr. Lori Mintz, and she has a PhD, and her book is A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. And so we were talking about how we can actually, what to do when our stress saps our libido. What can we do?
Well, what you can do is exactly the steps in the book. The first one is to start thinking about sex, because when we are so stressed, it's just the last thing on our mind. And it's an amazing technique. Just stop once an hour for 2 minutes and think about sex and fantasize a little bit. That brings it back. That's one of the tips.
Men do it all the time.
You know what? I have also started to, like, try to make my husband realize I'm thinking about him during the day, so I'll just send him a text thinking of you, or you know, I love you, or whatever. And it's amazing what that does.
Yes, that is actually another tip in the book, in the talk section, is letting each other know you're thinking of each other.
Mm-hmm. Staying connected, right?
Yeah. It can be in loving ways, it can be in sexually provocative ways.
It can be in silly ways. Sometimes just making them laugh gets them in a better mood.
Absolutely. Anything like that's connecting and fun. Touch is another one, is to, you know, we start, you know, in the dating days before, a lot of times couples will, you know, make out, touch each other at times when sex isn't possible. That's a real turn on. And then the longer a relationship goes on, the only time touch occurs is when sex is possible, which turns out to be kind of a turn-off for some people, and to start touching each other at times when sex is impossible, and it really turns up the heat.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. what I was going to say is, you know, if you've been married for a long time, and sometimes it gets a little boring, you know, because you're in the rut, you've got your children, you've got your businesses, all that stuff, and you're like, you kind of need to almost look at your husband or your wife as a girlfriend? How would you, you know, how would you...
Or how did you how, when you were dating?
There you go. Yeah. To kind of re-romance your life.
Exactly.
And sometimes just getting away for an afternoon or a weekend rekindles everything.
Definitely. So now, what would be your recommendation to somebody who's bored in bed, if you know, with their husband?
I would say take a look at the spice chapter in my book, or, you know, go to, if you're comfortable with it, go to either an online or a in-person erotic store and talk about what looks interesting for us to try here. What are some ideas? And they can range from, you know, watching a movie together, which if that's something a couple wants, or there's some sexy board games that they sell, but just doing something to spice things up.
And now,
I was going to say, things that make you feel sexy also help you act sexy. So if it helps you to have beautiful lingerie on, then you will feel sexier about yourself. And then when, you know, it's much easier to get in the mood. If that doesn't turn you on, then, you know, obviously not. But if you go to bed in sweats or in,
that doesn't really help the situation. You know,
my husband says, I don't care what you go to bed in. It doesn't matter.
Because you're going to take it off, right?
Yeah, you're going to take it off. But to me, if it sometimes
it
just
makes
to get
you,
me
it
in
helps
a better
you.
Mood.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. And, you know, I really like the thing with even just one night at a hotel. Just to change the scenery.
Get away.
You know? Yeah. And you have to get out of your boredom. You have to get out of your
routine. Or come home in the middle of the afternoon.
When nobody's home. Now that the kids are back
at
school.
I think another problem that women have is initiating things sometimes. Is, you know, you were talking about touching in non-sexual times. I think that makes a huge difference if you touch your husband just in passing.
Right.
And
a
like
lot of women think that it's the husband's job. It's like the dating, you know. He's supposed to open up the door. He's supposed to, you know, start the sex. Is that a problem that women come around?
It is a problem that women come around. And another problem is that it really happens quite a bit that's related to that is I hear so many women say, I'm doing the dishes and he gropes me. And I get mad. And instead of, you know, turning around and being playful back, or, you know, it gets into this angry thing. Grab a dish towel, not my breast, you know, and start remembering what the playfulness is and playing together again.
Right.
So what would you say for people that have the opposite problem, where the woman is more sexual than the man?
It's the same exact. There's always one person in a couple that has more or less sex drive than the other. Rarely is a couple evenly matched. And so the techniques work regardless of which sex it is.
Okay. So if you could leave us with one thought that could spark everybody to go and have sex today, what would that be?
Well, preferably with their husband.
Yes, exactly, yes.
The one thing that we didn't cover, I think, is one of the most important pieces of information, and that is the idea that you don't have to be horny to have sex. You can have sex to get horny. And and that's the idea of my final T is a tryst. Sometimes if you carve out the time and you say, this is what I'm going to do now, it's a lot like going to the gym. You're not always in the mood to exercise.
That really makes a lot of sense.
You usually feel better after.
Exactly. And so many times we think our sexuality is supposed to be like it was when we were 18, and we were in the mood physically all the time. And the research shows that women's sexuality becomes more a different kind of desire. We want to do it, but we may not feel the physical sensations until we start having sex. So a lot of women think of that as duty sex, but what I say is, no, if it's fun, it isn't duty sex. It doesn't have to start with physical desire, so carve out some time and just do it. Have fun.
So no matter what, if you feel like, oh, not right now, or just do it.
Just
because
do
you're
it.
Invested in your partnership, and in the long run, it will be a benefit for both of you.
Precisely.
I love it. So can you really quick, where are you at?
I am in Columbia, Missouri, although I'm getting ready to move to Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, okay. And you have your PhD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a practice?
Yes, I do. I'm a professor at the university here in Missouri and will be also in Florida. And I also have a private practice where I see women and couples.
So let me ask you one last question. Do you think that it's beneficial to couples to go to sex therapists? Or do you think that just what you do, a couples therapy, is the same thing?
Well, I think that is an excellent question. And I always tell people, when you go to a therapist, you are a consumer of their services. And I can say there's some people who call themselves sex therapists I'd recommend and also wouldn't, and the same for psychologists. Mm-hmm. So what I say, and there's a chapter at the end of the book that gives a list of questions to ask a therapist to make sure that they are qualified to work with you.
That's great, because I think unlike other therapy where you could ask people for a recommendation, I think sex therapy is probably one of those things that you're not going to go around to all your friends and ask them,
did it help you?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great thing. So at the back of the book, you have some questions to
I love it. I'm really
ask.
Excited. Now, where does everybody get your book?
You can get it at any bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's also online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
And can you download your book?
No. You can get it on Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, great. And do you have a website?
I do. www.drlaurieminz.com. And that website also has a link on it to Amazon.
All right, great. Could you stay on with, you got everything? Oh, okay, perfect. Well, we got all your information. I'd love to have you back on and talk more, because I think this is really a key to good relationships.
Well, I really enjoyed being on the show and would be delighted to be on again.
You got it. Well, you have a really great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. All right. We are actually going to just slip right into our next guest, and we have Marilyn Wedge, and her book is, did we lose her? No. Did we lose her? Oh, okay. And her book is Suffer the Children, The Case Against Labeling and Medicating and an Effective Alternative. And we were kind of talking a little bit before, going from, you know, our couples to our families of, you know, when you're growing up and things are not exactly the way we think they should be, do we need to put a label on it, or is it more the parent side to figure out what they need and not put a label on our children? So, Marilyn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you.
You know, you're so close. I could have had you in my studio.
Yeah. I didn't want to face the traffic going into Ventura.
It's not that bad in the morning, but
okay.
Anyways, we'll have to talk about it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this book.
Well, I have been a family therapist for 22 years, and I've always specialized in children. I started out as a child play therapist, and then I found that family therapy could help children get over their problems much more quickly. So in the early 90s, I began to see a trend that was very worrisome to me. Children were coming into my office already diagnosed with a psychiatric label, and already taking psychiatric medication. And a lot of it was ADHD medication, stimulant medication. But then as the 90s progressed, I saw children coming in with taking Prozac and antidepressants, and then even antipsychotics. Mm-hmm. Children were being labeled with bipolar disorder and taking very strong medications, which were not tested on children, and the results on children's brains were not known.
You know, that's very interesting, because my daughter in first grade, she was really ill, and she'd lost a ton of weight, was sick, and had stomach problems for a couple months. I took her to specialists all over the place, and they were telling me that she was depressed. Now, you don't know my daughter, but she's never depressed. Depressed and needs, you know, to be on depression magazine. And I wouldn't accept that. I said, she is not a depressed child. And I ended up going to another specialist, and they found a parasite. And so sometimes I
really
think they're
need
just
to dig
too
deep,
quick
yeah.
to give you
a
to
label.
Put them on medication.
Yeah, well, that you know, I have a story of a child in my book who the school had diagnosed as ADHD, or and even the teacher thought it might be autism, And I said, no, you know, this child doesn't have symptoms of any of those things. And it turned out that, even though his vision had been recently tested, when the pediatrician gave him a vision test, he wasn't able to see properly. He needed glasses. And here they were putting all these labels on him of psychiatric disorders, and he just couldn't see.
So there are kids that do need medication for different ailments or problems. But what we're trying to say is, you know, don't just take one person's opinion, I think.
And also there's a better way to do it. And there's a much better way to treat depression in a first grader than to give them medication.
Right.
You can cheer them up in all kinds of ways.
And so where do parents go from here? What would you...
Well, I would be very suspicious of anyone who wants to put a psychiatric label on a child. So I would recommend that parents read my book, because in my book it shows how all of these different problems, school failure, distraction, inattentiveness, anxiety, bullying, I have all these stories of children with these problems, and how with family therapy, with just, you know, 4 to 6 sessions of family therapy, the real problem comes to light. And then the family can make changes in communication. I'm not asking families to make any huge changes, but just changes in the way they communicate with each other, in the way they communicate with their child, and then the problems disappear. Because like all of us, children are influenced by their environment, by their social environment.
And so for kids, I mean, I have a friend whose son is ADHD, and they tried everything and finally ended up medicating him, and it made an unbelievable, he went from not being able to concentrate or study or do anything, you know, like that, to actually being able to go to a normal classroom. So there are kids that do need medication. So how
do you cipher
between them and how many years do you spend, you know,
trying to make sure that that's not the diagnosis, you know?
Right.
Or what are the for sure signs of a child that does have ADD? Do you have that?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that ADHD is a real disorder. I don't dispute that stimulant medication helps many children concentrate, but that's because it would help anyone concentrate. At college, around exam time, students are passing around stimulant medications like Ritalin or Adderall, and they always have. Fighter pilots take these medications in order to stay awake and concentrate. So I would never say that the medications don't help children. They help the symptoms. That's the thing. They can help the symptoms, but they do have significant side effects. Some children are lucky enough not to have hallucinations from the stimulant medication, but they do have side effects. They do have long-term effects on the child's brain, which we don't know clearly, and there are other ways to deal with it. And I do have, if you'd like me to go into that, I'd be glad to give you some of the ways that I have to help the child.
Yes,
please. Give us a few of them anyway.
Okay. Well, let me begin with the story, and I have the story in the book about Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is the Olympic world record-breaking swim champion, and he was diagnosed with ADHD when he was 9. Mm. His teacher said he would never succeed in anything because he couldn't focus his attention. So he took stimulant medication, like Ritalin, and at age 13, he felt that it was helping him, but it was a crutch. So he decided that through the power of his own mind, he was going to find ways to control his behavior by himself and to focus by himself. So one thing he did was to channel his extra energy through swimming. And, of course, he did that, and the way the story ends is he ended up being off the medication and doing just fine in life. We should all be so successful.
Right.
But so I think that's the number one thing is if a child has a lot of extra energy, for parents to enroll them in a sport such as swimming or soccer, t-ball, football, to channel their energy. Martial arts are very good for a child who has attention and focusing problems. I don't like to say the word ADHD, because if you say a child is ADHD, then right. everyone sees him that way, and right. he becomes that.
Yeah.
Whereas
right.
if you say he has attention problems. So martial arts helps develop discipline and the power of the mind to control one's behavior. Another thing is to reduce stimulation at home, to have a very calm environment when the child comes home so that you don't have the television always on. The television can be a reward. You watch a specific program, but to keep the background noise down, and especially when a child is trying to do homework. And I often suggest to parents that they sit at the kitchen table with the child and kind of monitor them with the homework, just kind of be there and giving them that attention while they do their homework, so if they have a question, they can ask.
You know, I just want to remind everybody, if you're just tuning in right now, we're talking to Marilyn Wedge, and she is a therapist, a family therapist in Westlake, and her book is Suffer the Children. Now, what about children with depression? What's your thought on that?
Well, again, I see it as a social environment problem. Although, of course, the child feels depressed inside, but the causes of it are in the social environment. I have a number of cases of children with depression in the book. One little boy named Brian, he was so depressed, he would cry every morning. He would throw himself on the floor and cry. And he didn't want to go to school. And so his mother took him to a psychiatrist, and he was diagnosed with depression, but talk therapy after 6 months wasn't helping. So the parents consulted me, and what it turned out to be is that the father was traveling a lot, and the mother, this was taking a toll on the mother who had another child, and she was quite depressed and sad because she never got to see her husband. Also, when her husband came home, they would sometimes fight and argue, and then the mother would be more depressed. So the way I turned this case around was to have the mother tell Brian three good things that she was looking forward to in her day. You know, instead of looking sad and being mopey in the morning, she would say, I'm really looking forward to my day because I'm going for a walk with my friend, and then I'm going to read a book that I've really been wanting to read. And then the other thing we did was have the parents make a list of Brian's best qualities, and every few days, each parent would tell him something good about himself. And then the other thing was for the parents to nurture their marriage and not to have arguments around the children. So I told them to go out to dinner or lunch once a week and have their disagreements there and never bring them home around the children. Well, it took only a few months for Brian to be back to normal. He was his normal, happy self, went to school, no more problems.
And how old was Brian?
Brian was 10.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think children are not unlike the rest of us.
Right.
If we're unhappy in our relationships.
Right. Now, do you think that depression and self-esteem, low self-esteem, go hand in hand?
Well, not always, but sometimes. And in this case, we dealt with the low self-esteem by telling Brian three good things about himself.
Almost like affirmations that you're kind of reprogramming him, right?
Right. You're reprogramming him. And children have such plastic brains. Their brains are so malleable that they do bounce back very quickly, more quickly than adults.
I do think that there are kids, I mean, really creative kids. I'm an artist, and I've always been around people that are artists in one way or another. I was a theater major, and really creative people do act outside the box, and sometimes parents don't, and teachers don't know how to handle that and, you know, thrive on that creativity rather than try to stomp it down by some other effect. So do you see that kids that have, that if you just get them in something that they're passionate about, sometimes it will redirect that energy? And some kids are not athletes, so you can't put every kid in an athletic situation, but you could, you know, give them I don't know what, a skateboard, a paintbrush, a theater class, something else to redirect some of that energy.
But you have to get them through that depression to think that
they're,
you know.
Like theater is a really good outlet. I used to teach theater therapy when I was in college. And I'd go into classrooms and the kids that were troublemakers in class, and they would take those kids out and work with me for a month. And I would teach them other ways to deal with their anger or their frustration or their whatever. And so they'd go back into class, and then they would be very effective in class and not disrupt the class. So sometimes I think it's just teaching kids other things to do.
I totally agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more that, kids who are more right brain, more creative, and they don't exactly fit into the box in the classroom, and the teachers are overwhelmed. They kind of need all the kids to behave the same. And so there's a tendency to say your child is not doing well at school. And so the children get drugged. They get labeled with ADHD and medicated in order to perform like the left brain children. And one of the side effects, I'm glad you brought up creativity, because one of the side effects of stimulant medications for ADHD is to decrease creativity.
You know, Marilyn, we're almost at the end of our show, and God, you were really interesting. How do you, if somebody was to come into your office, what would be your first step that you would work with them?
Well, I talk to the family. First of all, I usually see the parents and the child for one session, and then I usually don't need to see the child again. I just find out what is the problem in the family. Are there marital problems? Are the parents fighting in front of the children? Is one of the parents ill?
Well, wait a minute. You don't see the kids again?
Usually I don't, no, because I can solve the problem just by working with the parents.
Wow. But then how do you get through to the kid?
I get through to the kid in the first 10 minutes. I take the child aside.
Redirecting the behavior of the parents helps the kid's behavior.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Social environment, you change the child. You change the way the child behaves and feels.
Okay.
Now, I mean, that's interesting, the fact that when I was ill, I had cancer a year and a half ago, and my son came to my husband and said, I think I'm depressed.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did need to send him to a psychologist for a while, and he really just helped him because he had a hard time releasing his sadness and anger and didn't know where to redirect it to.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked with the child. But, we dealt with the illness. But
right. And now what about other siblings? Do you think it could be something from another sibling too?
Exactly. In the book, I have a story of a little girl named Cora, 10-year-old girl named Cora. She was an angel that started failing at school suddenly. And the problem did turn out to be about a sibling. Her brother was a 21-year-old brother, had just lost his most recent job. He wasn't able to move out of the house and get his own place. He was failing in life. And so his sister, Cora, was failing at school. And we had to get to the bottom of it, and we had to solve the son's problem, the brother's problem, in order to help the girl.
So interesting. Well, I would love to talk to you more because I think this is really, you have a different approach of going, into things. So where does everybody find your book?
Well, you could go to my website, which is MarilynWedgePhD.com. There's a link to Amazon. Local bookstores, you can order at local bookstores if you believe in supporting them, as I do.
I do.
Or you can download them on Kindle. They're available to download for iPhone or for Android.
Again, the name of the book is The name of the book is Suffer the Children by Marilyn Wedge.
Right.
Suffer the Children, The Case Against Labeling and Medicating and an Effective Alternative.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being our guest on my show. And I look forward to talking to you more.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, all right. Gosh, again, it's gone by so fast and so interesting. And, I thank all of you for listening today. Go ahead, what?
Are you going to give a mommy moment?
Of course I am. Don't
I'm living,
worry.
I'm sitting here in anticipation.
I know. Of course, I always give my mommy moment. But I do want to thank Dr. Bunny for being here.
My pleasure.
I appreciate that. And Marcia, thank you so much for being on my show again.
My pleasure.
And Steve, great job on the board.
Thank you.
And, you know, to all my guests, you know, if for any reason, which, you know, I know that there's always things that people like want to hear one more time or want to write down or whatever, you can listen again from 3 to 4 this afternoon. And also, if you want to be a sponsor or you want to be a part of my show, please give me a call. You can call me at 818-612-0832, or you can email me at kimpagano@gmail.com. And what I want to do right now is talk about our mommy moment. So today's is, do not walk through time without leaving worthy evidence of your passage.
Ooh.
So makes, you know, like really make a difference. This is your time to go around, and you kind of want to leave almost like a shadow of who you've been and who you are.
A big footprint.
A big footprint. Ooh, I love footprints. There you go. Exactly.
I always say they never say on your tombstone, accountant.
There you go. No, but you know that, yeah. So you want to...
Not that there's anything wrong with the cow.
No, my husband's the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyways, so that is my mommy moment. I thank you all for listening to my show, The Kim Pagano Show. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a really great day. And from then point on, right? Just do something that's really great today. Make a difference.